That's Proverbs chapter 9. I'll read the whole chapter. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. The woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that the guests are in the depths of Sheol. Amen.
Hello, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Good morning. Let me add my welcome to Rob. So he says, my name's Matt. Now, we're going to be looking back at that passage from Proverbs chapter 9 in just a moment. So if you have closed your Bibles, do turn back to Proverbs 9. But I just want to take you back first, before we start. When I was a kid, when I was at school, when I was about 11 years old, I had a teacher who loved riddles. Absolutely loved them. And I remember a few of them. But one in particular, for some unknown reason, always stuck with me. It goes something like this. You might have heard it before. A man arrives at a small town and needs to get his hair cut. He discovers there are just two barbers in the town. He visits the first, finds that the barber has a nice clean haircut, clean and tidy clothes, a beautiful clean and sparkling place. Then he visits the second one, finds this place is a mess. The barber has an awful haircut, his clothes are still covered in hair from the previous customer. The place is an absolute mess. Everything's falling down. Nothing is kept well. After a moment of consideration, he decides to have his haircut done by the second barber, the messy one. Why? When that was such a mess? Well, we're going to be answered. Firstly, both barbers must go to the other barber to get their haircuts because there's only two barbers in the town. So the first barber, who had a clean and nice haircut, well, the second barber would have done his haircut for him. Secondly, the second barber's shop was a mess, presumably because he's too busy to keep up with cleaning, whereas the first had all the time in the world to keep his place nice and clean. Was that the right decision, do you think? Maybe answer that for yourself, but it depends if you want a good haircut or if you want the enticement of a nice venue. Was it a wise decision? This morning, we're coming to a similar picture here, but it's not about getting your hair cut. It's something more serious than that, isn't it? And it's two places, only two, and only two choices to choose between. One is wisdom, one is folly. But they lead to something much bigger than a haircut, because one leads to the good life, one leads to death. The way of wisdom, or the way of folly. So before we dig into Proverbs 9, let's pray for our time together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to spend together hearing you speak to us through your word. Do be at work in each of our hearts this morning, Father. be at work by your Spirit, change us and shape us, and let us see true wisdom, the way of wisdom, and let us be seeking that path that leads to life with you. Amen. So we come to this chapter in Proverbs chapter 9, and it's the end of the first section of the book of Proverbs. And as we come to this end of this section, we are confronted with a choice to make. And that choice is shown by this picture of two houses, sort of two banquets or feasts. It's two invitations, two destinations. So first choice, number one, the first house, and belongs to Lady Wisdom. And what a house it is. Let me read that for us again, verses 1 to 3. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. So see that there, the house carved out of seven pillars. This house has been carefully built. It's more of a description of like a large palace with seven sort of columns at the front, isn't it? No ordinary home, made with wealth. It seems like a perfect house, big enough for all to come and fit in. Verse 2 tells us she has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. Slaughtered her beasts, that is to say, her prepared her meat for the feast. She's mixed her wine, ready for this feast to happen. She's laying on a banquet here. She's not nipping out to the takeaway, but preparing a beautiful meal. Maybe think of the preparation that goes into Christmas dinner. Ordering the turkey, buying the drinks, all the trimmings, preparing for all the family to arrive, the big feast of Christmas Day. This is about putting on her best. The mixed wine here is actually, it's a positive. It's a good thing. It doesn't mean a watering down. It's rather sort of adding spices and flavours to make it even nicer. The table is set, the banquet is ready, the house welcoming and inviting. But what is a banquet without guests? And that's what she does next in verse 3, doesn't she? She sends out her young women here, and she herself calls out the message, the invitation to come. Verses 4 to 6 says, "Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense," she says, "come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight." That's the invitation here of Lady Wisdom. Those who are simple, sort of means those who sort of lack sense, or really meaning those who haven't decided, who are caught in the middle, come and eat. See the banquet laid out and the wine ready to drink. There is a choice to make in verse 6 there. It's not just about coming in to this banquet to accept Wisdom's invitation, but there's a leaving behind. Leave behind your simple ways and instead seek understanding of insight, because that is what leads to life. So what is this all referring to? What is this being a picture of here? Well, this is a decision about what path in life to take. This is really all about Christ. This is about Jesus. Are you going to follow his path? Jesus, God the Son, is the wise one who has gone before us. In him we have life. The Son of God, the greatest expert in the universe on the way the world works, the greatest expert on you and me, the greatest expert on whole of life. He is the one who sent out messengers. A picture here in Proverbs, but think in the Old Testament of the prophets, or later New Testament, the apostles. And even today, as we share the word of God. It was Lady Wisdom calling the message in this picture, but the young women were the servants, the messengers, taking it out. God speaks through his word, as his word is spoken even today. The young women here, they do not speak for or of themselves, but they are a picture of speaking for and of God. Preachers at the front here on a Sunday morning, hopefully we're not preaching our own opinions, but preaching Christ. Hopefully you have the word open in front of you so you can see and hear, to see the message for yourselves. Because it is God who is doing the inviting. It is God who is inviting you to this banquet. The invite in this picture, it goes out to anyone. The call is from the highest point in the city, in the town. The gospel call is to be preached to all people. The question is, who is going to accept the invitation? So what is the call? The call is to make a decision. Come to this house, carefully prepared, ready for you, and enter in. But leave behind the simple ways and pursue understanding. Leave behind, repent really. Turn in here and turn away from old life. Turn to Jesus, because the right and wise way, the only way to God, the only way to life is through Jesus. Because he isn't just inviting or showing the way, but he is that way. He is the truth, he is life. He is the only way to true wisdom, to right living, and to life with God. And there is a price to pay. The price to pay is to leave the old life behind, the life of the simple, for the way of the wisdom. Turn with me to verse 5, because the picture is there again in verse 5. She says, "Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed." Bread and wine here, I think for a lot of us, it'll flash, won't it, in our minds of what we think of that. Symbols of remembrance of the way of a way to life. Because how does Jesus lead this way to life? Well, it's through the cross. Through the death of Christ, through the death of the most wise one, but in a way that looks like foolishness, but is the way of wisdom. The one who walked perfectly this way of wisdom now invites you in. You can leave behind the old way. As through his broken body, as his blood is poured out for us, we can join this banquet. And that is a bigger picture, for one day there will be a great banquet, this time a marriage feast, of that sacrificial lamb, of that crucified Christ and his people. It's what we see in Revelation 19 at the end of the Bible. At the end of time, there is a banquet for them, for all who have repented, for all who follow wisdom, follow Christ. A feast at the joining together of his people with Christ. Those who have walked his path, who have taken the invitation and turned to him. So we can say yes to walking his way of wisdom and no to the way we're about to see, all because of what he has done for us and is doing in and through us today by his Spirit. But there is another choice. Because just across the street here in chapter 9, there's another house, there's another invitation, there's another feast that is actually oh so tempting and oh so inviting. This is no lady wisdom here, but it's woman folly. Described as a rowdy woman. You can almost hear her now, can't you? Shouting in the street. Everyone knows her opinions. Often it's the loudest who get the most attention. And yet, we're told she knows nothing, takes on board everything she hears. She doesn't care. She's not discerning. Let's read more about woman folly here in verses 13 to the end. "The woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, 'Stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant.' But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol." First First, if we look at this little section on woman folly, did you see her message there? Verse 16 again. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. It's exactly the same as Lady Wisdom. Folly is trying to entice to her path. She is seducing to her, trying to bring the simple her way. But if the same message, then how can you discern the right way? Well, it can't be then by what is just said, merely on the surface, in and of itself. Not just the message or the promise, but it's also paying attention to the subtle habits of each house, the walk with the talk. Because if Lady Wisdom is a picture of Christ, well, folly is a picture of the world today. Wisdom, she built her house, she prepared the feast, she mixed the wine, she arranged the invitations, there's care taken, there's preparations are done, everything is ready. What does folly do? She sits at the door of her house, which we aren't told anything else about. She's on a seat on the high places of the town, which could be more described as like a throne, putting herself on a throne at the highest point. Well, that's also where Lady Wisdom called from. But then this is no invitation. This is an enticement to any that pass by. Enticing those away from the straight path to wisdom, away to her home. Her home where there is no nicely and carefully prepared banquet, but verse 17, there is stolen water and bread eaten in secret. The other guests at this banquet, well, they are the dead. They're in the depths of Sheol. Woman Folly's invitation is for the way of the world, the way of sin, and the way of the flesh. That little verse there, 17, stolen water is sweet, bread eaten secretly is tasty. Well, it looks nice, doesn't it? It looks inviting in its own way. Sweet water, tasty bread. Come and enjoy my house is her call. It's actually an easy path. It's the one to instant satisfaction and gratification. Indulging the sweet tooth, indulging the senses, indulging the body, getting what we want. But like at breakfast, a bowl of Cocoa Pops may seem tasty and sweet, but it doesn't last and sustain like a big bowl of porridge does it? The stolen water, the tasty bread, it will not last. It's eaten in secret, in the corner, in the dark, away from others. Folly is inviting you to the guilty pleasure of sin. Folly's house has the walk with the talk. There's a boastful nature, self-indulgent, immediate gratification, knowledge that is baseless, and she just sits and she steals. Lady Wisdom, she is humble, patient, seasoned in knowledge, faithful works. Attending Folly's self-indulgent banquet represents a lifestyle that rejects God, rejects his wisdom. And instead, it takes on things like the pleasures of sex and the easy money, the idols of today, my own truth, the quick, instant gratification of me now, things like instead of honest work, stealing or fraud, instead of a lifelong sacrificial commitment to a spouse, adultery or pornography, the desires and wants of our flesh. Instead of loving, kind, honest speak, it is gossip or slander. Anger instead of patience. Today's LGBTQI plus agenda instead of biblical sexuality and gender, instead of one man and one woman. It's about my truth instead of God's truth. The way of folly, not wisdom. There is an ease, there is a temptation to follow folly. Folly's voice calls out everywhere. And the call is, you are missing out. You see it on social media, you see it in the news, see it with friends and family, you are missing out. But the arguments are baseless, lacking knowledge. Folly doesn't argue, doesn't use facts or defend morality, but seeks to tempt to the easy path. The tempting party for the satisfaction for today. It's really tempting to go along with friends, with family, with colleagues, isn't it? Because the world makes it hard to follow any other way. But we need to notice where the guests of folly lead. Where are they? Sheol, in death. Or where was wisdom's? Well, they had life. That is where the two houses go. That is where they lead. The world, the flesh, sin, leads to folly and death. Wisdom, the way of Christ, leads to life. Now, if you switched on, you may have realised I have missed a chunk out of this passage, right in the middle here, and that's where we turn to now. Because there are also some who appear to have already decided, who have already walked the path to folly, but have gone even further. And even more have turned to scoffing. Let me read the middle section, verses 7 to 12 again for us. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. So here we see the scoffer now against the wise. And wisdom, which might be counter to what we think, actually calls to not actually invite the scoffer. Wisdom does actually say there is a time to be quiet. You might think that's strange, but Jesus himself was silent at points. Think about before the Sanhedrin. He didn't always respond to those who scoffed or mocked. But to the lost, he did. To the simple here, he spoke lovingly and invitingly. But wisdom knows that trying to teach those who scoff will result in harm. Verse 7, whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Those who scoff, well, they respond to those who try to correct with abuse and with hurt. Verse 8 says, they will hate one who rebukes them. But they will bear their own consequences. They have rejected Lady Wisdom. They have rejected Christ. And they will bear the full weight of their decision. The scoffer will hate the Christian. The scoffer will hate Christ. And they will seek to attack. In Britain today, the attack might not be physical, but it is there. And actually that calls us to pray, doesn't it? Pray for those and support those who are standing up to those scoffers. Pray for those who especially are standing up in the public square, in Parliament, or those teachers who we prayed for earlier. Pray for those who have been hurt and rejected by family, who are standing firm on marriage and gender. Some of those against them will be scoffers. Some will be those, though, who are actually crushed in spirit, who are hurting, and who are actually the lost, the simple. There'll be some of those who are just know no better and need to hear the way of wisdom themselves, as they are only bombarded day by day by the enticement of folly. Whereas they and we need to hear to follow Lady Wisdom, to become like the wise. Now, becoming wise is not being the wise one who knows all things, not the wise owl, not everyone who goes to for answers, because I do not always feel like that, let me tell you. But being wise, what are we told? Well, it comes from fear of the Lord. It is about humility. Humility in learning, being willing to be told, to be changed, to grow. The wise and humble submit to the knowledge of the Holy One. which is in contrast to the proud and arrogant scoffer. And being wise in this manner is good for you, for your own benefits. It's not about book smarts, it's not about money or being the best at something. It's a humility, a soft heart that comes from rightly knowing the Lord and fearing him. And that means not debating the Lord, not debating the creator of heaven and earth over this question or that, but it is a submission and bowing down to his lordship, revering him for who he is. Our Lord, our King, the Holy One, our Saviour. It is a submission to the Lord. There is actually nothing disappointing in God's wisdom. That is ultimately revealed in Jesus. But as we've seen, outside of him, well, it's death. That's where it leads. So the choice is clear. There are only two options, lady wisdom or lady folly, or woman folly. It's life or death. Let us be those who show up to Lady Wisdom's door. Let us be those who seek to live God's way, humbly admit when we go astray. Be willing to hear the loving rebuke, to keep us on the straight path. To continue to grow in wisdom, to grow more like wisdom himself, our Lord Jesus Christ. And to be sent out with the invitation, to share the invitation to true wisdom with others. To warn against the enticing temporary satisfaction that is folly, but where it actually leads is guilt and shame and death. And to help bring them to the wise path, to a fear of the Lord, to live his way, to follow Christ, to know that his death is the one that brings life. And really, for each of us, there will be moments that woman folly each day we know is the wrong house, but will be so tempting to enter in. For some, that is a struggle with the flesh, sexual satisfaction, pornography, temptations away from the God-given design for sex and relationships and marriage. For some, it'll be a selfish desire for getting my own way, leading to anger or malice or slander against others. Those moments at work being wronged by your boss or the customer who insists they are right, or the child who will not listen to you or respect you and says no time after time, well, our hearts will be tempted to knock on woman folly's door because it is enticing. It is tempting, it is fleeting, but it is temporary and actually can lead to hurting others. She invites you to live in a way that just satisfies one's illicit desires and to seek the adrenaline rush of secret sin. But it all leads to guilt and shame and ultimately sin and death. But there is that other way with Christ, because we return to him. We are forgiven sinners, aren't we? We are given a new way to life already, because there really is only one choice here. That is Lady Wisdom. So let's keep saying yes to her invitation, because there is no third option. There is no fence to wait on. There's just wisdom or folly. So we already have that yes in Christ to Lady Wisdom, as we trust him, knowing that Christ has done it all for you. He has walked this life in perfect wisdom, and by his Spirit he works in each of us to grow our own humble hearts, to grow in wisdom, to grow more like him. Because he has brought us life through his death. What looked like folly is true way to wisdom, true way to life. He's done it all for us. And in wisdom's house, you find food, you find community and nourishment for the passage along the way of understanding in this life to life with him forever. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your way that is the only way to life, that you sent your Son to die in our place, that what looked so weak was the most wise decision and the way that led to true wisdom and to true life with you. Father, be some here who do not know that path, who do not know that way. Be at work in them, and I pray for people to knock on wisdom's door, to come to you through your Son, trusting in his death and resurrection for true life. And Father, please, we know we are forgiven, that you have done all we need through your Son, but each day there is a temptation back to folly. Father, be at work in each of our hearts and keep us on the straight path that leads to wisdom, that leads to life. Amen.